this really captures something really important. And this poem, I think, captures pretty much all of the things that are really important to me. It's called Barack Baby. Barack Obama, Linda snorts when I see her after the election. What I want to know is, where do they get off calling him African American? What about his mother? He was raised by his grandmother. He lived in Indonesia, for God's sake. Linda, born in Japan, came as a girl to America and a white stepfather, married a Thai she met working in a camp for Cambodians, raised two smart, beautiful, mixed children who write poetry and play soccer. In other words, the new true blue all-American maybe has a point. Hapa, the Hawaiians say, half and half, the most beautiful ones. The geneticists say we're all a little Hapa, our genes vastly more same than different, tracing our DNA strands from our first home in Mother Africa, across the continents, across the millennia. They find some genes where they have no historical business being. If we were paying attention, we'd trade all our national myths and cultural fairy tales of blood bonds and redemptive tribal warfare for the gypsies. Romani, c'est moi. But that's not what I say to Linda. I say, well, Linda, you know, an artifact, blah, blah, of American history, blah, blah, when a single drop of blood. Wait a minute. I don't have to explain this stuff. I'm not the spokesperson for drops of blood. Obama calls himself a mutt. That's enough for me. Here, let me tell you about my grandson instead. If we're just talking blood, if we parse it out by the leader, he's a quarter Chinese, a quarter Russian and Bohemian Jew, half African American, which, history tells us, includes an unknown portion of white, cavalier, plantation-owning, moral degenerate Christian rapists. But I don't have to explain that. I wasn't one of them. My African-American grandson, if I may call him that, has none of my blood. But I was there when he was 10 minutes old. I'm here now, and I have anteed up for the game. Yet my wife's nephew, sitting on his sunny suburban deck for the family's September birthdays, says to me, "What's this grandpa stuff? You're not his real grandfather." Once again, I find myself in a private space with lots more Chinese than white faces, including the nephew of mainland-born grandparents, but with Irish-American wife and two handsome, fair-haired children with exotic eyes. I don't make a fuss, but I wonder, what is this blood worth? Aren't I entitled to be grandpa? Can the kid call me Gung Gung? Can I be the one to introduce him to Billie Holiday, Muddy Waters, Fela Kuti, Alice Walker, Langston Hughes, and Jimi Hendrix? Who else will read to him from Li Po, Tu Fu, and Li Cheng Chao? My Anglo-Saxon Protestant older sister, visiting my new beatnik haven of San Francisco, couldn't believe all the interracial couples strolling up Folsom Street, hand in hand, and couldn't help pointing out each one, "Look at that." But a few years later, standing outside her Minnesota back door, it took her about 5 seconds to accept and embrace my Asian American partner. Then there's that Chinese American history, railroad gangs, exclusionary policies, paper families, bitter tears etching poetry on the walls of Angel Island detention dormitories. They couldn't even buy property around here in my lifetime. But I don't have to explain that. It wasn't my doing. I'd rather look to the future. I sing to all interracial couples holding hands, the beautiful mixed-race babies, Hapa, Mutt, or whatever. Stir the pot, spice the gumbo, mix it up in every shade of the rainbow. Blend the languages, the accents, the grief rituals, the music. Give us a world where all the old chauvinisms can be trumped by whatever any of us makes happen here and now. I sing of my little Barack baby, his coincidental confluence of genes just about perfect. It's a new day in America and the world. None of this will be easy, but what new opportunities will he seize?